Many of us view the Holy Spirit's guidance in our lives as a where to go, what not to go type of a thing. We view him on decisions like that. And I think more often than not, we view the Holy Spirit as guide only on the big decisions in our lives. I think, you know, everyone really wants to know, everyone wants God's opinion and direction when it comes to really big things like marriage. You know, I want to make sure I'm marrying the right person. I want to make sure I'm not making a mistake with this. I want God's guidance in my life. Or taking a job. You know, I'm switching careers. I'm getting this new job. Is it going to be able to provide for my family and my needs? Or what about, you know, what about kids and family? I want God's direction in these big areas of my life. And there's these big, important decisions. I get that. These are important decisions. We should ask for God's guidance and his direction in our life. But I think more often than not, we let other people and other things and insecurities hold the map in our lives. And then we wonder why we're always driving off the road and why we're always hitting dead ends and why we're always making wrong turns and ending up in bad neighborhoods. And I think for many of us, it's because we say we want the Holy Spirit's guidance. We want him to hold the map. But then when we put him in the trunk of the car, and we wonder why we're not going where we want to go. And we start to take guidance from other people in our lives, from other influences, from jobs, from family, from insecurities, from fears. And we allow these things to be the ones holding the map in our lives. And I believe the Holy Spirit, he wants to lead and guide our lives. I believe he wants to provide direction this morning to you. I believe he wants to speak into your life and lead you into a life that's fruitful, that's full of joy, that's full of peace, that's full of goodness. And all of these things that God has for you, if we will learn how to give space for him in our hearts, to give space for him in the car and to give him the map every now and then. I believe God's got a plan for your life. Do you believe that this morning? Do you believe God wants to speak to you this morning? Anybody? Yeah? You believe that he wants to guide you into a life that's fruitful and good and full of him and full of joy and full of life? Does anybody believe that this morning? I believe that this morning. But how does the Spirit do this? That's the question we're looking at today. The Spirit as God. If you have your Bibles this morning, would you open it up to Galatians chapter 5? Galatians chapter 5, we're going to be camping there for most of this morning's message. Galatians chapter 5, Paul is teaching us here on how the Holy Spirit guides us. He's teaching us here on how do you receive guidance from the Holy Spirit and what does it look like in your life when you are being guided by the Spirit. So in Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, it says, in my Bible here at the very top is a heading, it says, keep in step with the Spirit. The New Living Translation, throw the slides up on the screen there. Verse 16, it says, so I say to you, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves and desires. In the New International Version, it says, so I say to you, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. I want you to notice in your Bibles, if you're looking down at there, Spirit and flesh. These two are going to be at conflict in this whole section this morning. I want you to take note of this. If you have a Bible that you'd like to mark up this morning, I'd underline spirit and I'd underline flesh. Sometimes I'll draw an arrow between the two just to highlight that there's a difference, that there's contrasting here of what's going on. Verse 17, Paul goes on and he says, for the desires of the flesh desires is contrary to the Spirit. And the Spirit, what is contrary to the flesh. And these two things, the flesh and the Spirit, they are at conflict with each other so that you do not do what you want to do. Now, isn't that interesting? Doesn't that just push against our culture? Because our culture says just do whatever you want to do as long as it doesn't hurt somebody else. Whatever you do doesn't matter, but as long as it doesn't hurt somebody else. But Paul says no. The Spirit is actually guiding you to keep you from doing just whatever you want to do, from just heading in whatever direction you want to go, because sometimes what we want is exactly what ends up hurting and destroying us. Have you noticed this in your life? Sometimes the things that we want and the things that we naturally desire are those exact things that cause us the most harm in our spirits. I've got to spend a lot more time lately with children and babies, especially hang out with Jen sometimes, and Juliet's there, and she's you know, 1 year old, and she's crawling around, and she's getting into things now, so you got to pay really close attention, and sometimes she'll want to get into things that are really dangerous. She'll see, like, you know, like we were had a campfire at our house a couple weeks ago, and she's over her fire, and, ooh, fire, you know, and it's like, I want that right now, can I touch that? And it's like, no, you cannot touch that. That's not a good thing. You know, I don't give that to you. That will really hurt you. And I think the same is true with us. We're not just supposed to live to whatever corny things we want. There are some things in our lives that we, even though we want it, they're actually not good for us. It could actually cause us more harm than is worthwhile. But he goes on, Paul continues to say in verse 18, but if you are led, that is, if you are guided by the Spirit, you're not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious. Now this is tough. Because sometimes in our culture today, these things become less obvious than they once were. They become less obvious and than what we have maybe gotten used to. But here's what he's saying. He's saying these acts of the flesh, these things that our flesh wants, these desires that our bodies, our natural nature as individuals, as people every day, these things that we want, they're obvious and they're clear. If you're new to church, you might cringe a little bit as we're reading through this list, but that's okay. Hang in there. We're going to get to the good part in just a few moments. And he says, these things are obvious. He says, sexual immorality. He says, impurity. Debauchery. He says, idolatry and witchcraft. Hatred. Discord. Jealousy. Fits of rage. Selfish ambitions. Dissensions. Factions and envy. Drunkenness. Orgies and the like. And he says, I warn you as I did before. I warn you. Who's Paul warning here? Us, Christians, people in the church. It's easy for us to look at this list and say, oh, this is for bad people outside the church. No, he says, this is for you in the church. I warn you, as I did before, this is about you and me, that those who live like this in repeating patterns of this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But, oh, thank goodness there's a but. Aren't you thankful for the buts this morning? But the fruit of the Spirit, that is the fruit of the good things that God wants to bring out in your life, is love, it's joy, it's peace, it's patience, it's kindness, it's patience, it's gentleness, faithfulness, gentleness and self-control. And against these things there is no law. And then verse 24, this is the key verse to understanding this passage for us this morning. Those who belong to Jesus, they have crucified or put to death the flesh with its all its passions and all its desires. And since we live by the Spirit, therefore let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us be guided by the Spirit. Now, there's a lot there. It's a very dense passage. And for a lot of us here this morning, this is a very familiar passage. We've heard this before, even in Sunday school, you know, through the Spirit. This is something we teach on. You've probably heard someone preach on this before. But hopefully today you will see how the Holy Spirit uses the fruit of the Spirit to lead and guide your life. And how he will provide guidance for you if you are willing to make space for him in your life. Because when you and I make space for the Holy Spirit to lead and guide our lives, something happens in and through you that is noticeable by you and by those around you. Here's how you can tell if the Holy Spirit is leading and guiding your life. Here's how. Ready? You will begin to change from the inside out all at once. All at once. And there will be a clear and obvious evidence in your life and on your life if the Spirit is leading and guiding you. Paul says that the works of the flesh are obvious, but the fruit, that is the evidence of that noticeable thing in your life, of the Holy Spirit leading and guiding you, it's this list of clear and evidential character traits that he calls fruit. So, let's just take a quick look at this morning. He says, if you see this fruit in your life, you know you are being led by the Spirit. He starts with love. Now, love, it can be a warm, gushy feeling, yes. Everybody's experienced that, I think, on some level. We like to be loved. We like to experience that feeling of affection in our hearts. But love is not a feeling only. How many know that this morning? Yeah? Love is not just a passive, reactive emotion. It is an active, intentional choice. It's a choice. How many know it sometimes is a choice to love people? I don't feel like being very loving this morning sometimes, but we make a choice to serve it. And this love that he is talking about, he says, it's not just a feeling that you feel, but it's love that is expressed through serving the needs of other people. It's a love that is expressed through serving other people. Why does that look differently like that? Ah, okay. Thanks. It's a love that's expressed in serving other people. It's a love that is expressed by serving the needs of others, not for your own need, but for what others get out of it. So you get nothing out of this type of love. This is a love that says, you know, I'm just going to do it for you because I know that this is what I would be done for me. So it's loving people, not for what you get out of it, but what you serve to others. How are you doing at loving this morning? You talk about joy. He goes on. He says, you want to live a resilient life? You got to have joy in your life. I think we want to have a life that is full of good things. To delight in God, and not just what he gives you, but for who he is to you. To delight in God and to not just delight in the gifts of God. I love my wife a lot as a person. I don't just love her because of what she gives to me. I don't just love her for her cooking. You know, that's not it. I love her as an individual, as a person, and that's the same the way that we can begin to have with God. It's not anchored in your situations or your circumstances, but life in God. And here's how you can tell if you are growing in more joy in your life. Here's how you can tell. If by each passing year, you are becoming more and more even keel. Because all of a sudden, your happiness is not attached to whatever is happening around you in life. It's attached to God. And he never changes. And you will be able to tell if you are growing in more joy, if you are becoming more even keel, day after day, week after week, year after year. Joy is not based on your circumstances, it's based on who God is. And then he goes on and he says, peace. Peace, really, what we boil it down to the main point is simply this: trust in God. It's a confidence that no matter what's happening, you're going to be okay. You know, how can you tell if you're growing in peace? So with each passing year, you're becoming less and less anxious about your circumstances. Now, I'm not talking about anxiety disorders here this morning. That's a very different portion of our lives. Sometimes there's something that happens in your body and in your brain that there is medical treatments for that. And that's very important. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about our ability to worry about stuff all the time. And generally about life's day-to-day tasks, becoming more confident and at peace while doing it. Now, patience is the next one. And this is an area that I trip up over all the time, especially driving through Truro. Has anybody ever had their patience tested driving through Truro? I got to say, when I moved to Truro from Edmonton, Edmonton's got a lot of two-lane roads, like on Roby Street, but Truro's a lot of one-lane roads, just that way. And I've noticed, maybe it's just me, but it seems like everywhere I go, always, I get caught behind the driver going 10, 20, 30 kilometers below the speed limit. Oh my goodness. I think the Lord is trying to test me in my space. And that's just wrong, really, right? It's just wrong at the end of the day. That's what it breaks down to. And I'm not talking about that. I'm talking, about the patience that God begins to bring in our lives. You know, patience is the ability to suffer and to even be wronged without melting down or becoming bitter. You know, patience is powerful. How many knows that? And patience is powerful that you're able to, even when somebody is wrong to you, like, man, you've been slighted, they've been mean to you, they've been hurtful to you, you can just say, you know what, I'm just going to take that. Because, you know, I can be patient under that circumstance. It's not about me, it's about God. Now, kindness and goodness. These are two Greek words here. Kindness and goodness. It's charisos and agathosthene. And they literally mean, these two Greek words that work together, they literally mean uprightness of heart and integrity. Which is an interesting way to think about this. You're not just thinking about being a kind and good person. It's literally that goodness and kindness, it's not being hypocritical. It's basic personal integrity. That's what this is talking about. A person with integrity is a person with one group, they're the same with the other. They're the same in private as they are in public. You are honest. And you're transparent, and that's a big fruit right there. It's a big fruit in your life if you are working in these different areas. The next one is faithfulness. What is faithfulness? Well, faithfulness is really faithfulness is fearlessness. It's that reliability and that courage that rises in your heart. Faithful people are bold. Faithful people are assertive. Faithful people are not the people that are wishy-washy. How many of you know that as you get older, as I've experienced this more in my life, I've started to really become appreciative of people that are faithful, people that are reliable. Come on. Many people, do you like a reliable person to hire for a job, right? Do you like it when somebody is reliable, you give them a task, they're reliable to follow through on it? Anybody like a person like that in your life? I know that we like that in our lives, and that's really what faithfulness is. It's reliability. It's been able to say, man, I can trust you. And it's amazing how attractive faithfulness is. Gentlemen, you want to be attractive to your spouses, to girls? Be a reliable guy. Follow through on your commitments. You say you're going to do something, do it. That's the most attractive and beautiful thing. Man, ladies will look at that and say, man, you're a good-looking dude. It's attractive. Gentleness. Lastly, gentleness is the ability to be sensitive towards other people. Really, gentle, somebody who's gentle is a peacemaker. There's someone who's a good listener. There's somebody that can get into a conflict or a situation and they see something happen that's distrustful and unright, and they begin to say, you know, we're going to make peace here. We're going to pull this down a little bit. And then lastly, self-control. If you have the other eight, you've got self-control because that's working in your life. Now, why is this significant? You've heard this before. You've heard this section talked about. What's the point of this passage, and how does it apply to the Spirit's leading in our lives? Well, Paul is helping us to notice something here. He's keeping this in mind when you're watching the rest of the message. He says, when you look at the list of fruit, this doesn't grow naturally. This has to grow supernaturally. But here's what we do. We look at this list, and we become immediately, we can notice some things we're good at, and some things we're not so good at. We begin to say, well, you know, I'm actually a pretty loving person, but I'm kind of full of anxiety. So I'm not very good in this area, but I am good in this area. You know? Or we say, you know, I'm a pretty sensitive person. I'm pretty gentle with people, but you know, I'm really assertive. I'm not really assertive, and I don't like conflict. So I'm not very gentle in this area. So we see these areas of our life. And in other words, we say this list, I'm good over here, but I'm not so good over here. And what we're doing when we say this is we're making a vital mistake. And the mistake is this. We forsake and we mistake the supernatural fruit of the Spirit for our personal temperament. They're not the same thing. They're not the same thing. You know, your natural wiring as a soft-spoken person doesn't mean there's gentleness in your life. It doesn't. It's not growing in you. The fruit of the Spirit naturally grows, supernaturally grows in you. And here's what I mean by that. The Greek word that Paul uses for fruit here, it's singular. So he's not saying the fruits of the Spirit, like apples, bananas, and pears. He's saying the fruit, singular, one piece of the Spirit. Meaning that if the fruit of the Spirit, the one piece of fruit, is growing in your life, it's one fruit that grows in unison. It's either growing all at once in your life or not at all. There's not some of this and a little bit of this. If that's happening, that's not the fruit of the Spirit. That's just your temperament. It's all at once or not at all. And so when Paul says the fruit singularly of the Spirit, he's saying unless you're growing in all of them, you're not actually growing in any of them. That's why he's saying this. He says to be led and to be guided by the Spirit of God. It means making space for the Spirit of God in your life. And if you are making space for the Spirit of God, you say, am I being guided by the Spirit? Here's how you can tell. You're growing in all of them or none of them. And if you're not growing, if you're growing in them like this, you're not being led by the Spirit. So how do you know if it is? He says, you will see the fruit of the Spirit thriving and growing in your life as you're being led by the Spirit and not by the flesh. Remember I said at the beginning, this flesh and the Spirit, they're in conflict in this passage. They're fighting back and forth all the time. The key is found to this and is in verse 24. He says that in verse 24, he says that those who belong to Christ Jesus, they are being, those who are being led by the Spirit, they have crucified the flesh. They have killed the flesh with its desires. In other words, they have put to death that fleshly part of themselves that would desire to control and lead and guide their lives. Now the flesh, what does that mean? It's a hard word for us to understand. You know, Paul says that you belong to Jesus. You are being led and guided by the Spirit of Jesus. You have put to death fleshly things in your life. So he says you will be able to tell if a person belongs to Jesus if they are being led by the Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit is rising in their heart, in their relationships, in their work, in their countenance, in their heart. And those who are being led by the Spirit, They've put to death these passions and desires. So we think, okay, flesh desires. I've got to kill some flesh desires in my life. What does that look like? So we go back up and we say, oh, verse 19. I saw some flesh desires there. So go in your Bibles, verse 19. He says, okay, there's some right there. Paul says these sins are obvious. So we look at some sins. We say, okay, sexual immorality. Yeah, that's pretty fleshly. Okay, impurity. Yeah, debauchery. Oh, yeah, that's a fleshy one, isn't it? Right? Drunkenness, orgies. Yeah, that's a pretty fleshy, doesn't seem to fit the right category, right? Of fleshy sins. Those are attached to the body in some way. Those are the ones I really need to go after. And that's where most of our minds go. We go after that. You know, it's got something to do with disciplining my body. If I can just control my body, then I'm good. But here's the problem with that way of thinking. The majority of what he talks about here, those eight listed in the middle, got nothing to do with your body. It's got nothing to do with your body. He says, the works of the flesh are obvious, and the evidence of you being guided and led by the Spirit and not by these bodily sins, yes, here, but also looks like this. It also looks like hatred. It also looks like, you know, discord or disunity, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition and pride. It talks about, like, disliking somebody. This is about, you know, discord, refusing to get along with others. He's talking about being jealous. He's talking about losing your temper. He's talking about always putting yourself first. He's talking about arguing with people and taking sides. He says, if you see a person walking with these actions and character traits in their life, if you look into the mirror of Scripture yourself and you see them in your own heart, then you know you're not being led by the Spirit. Because you've given control over to the flesh. And the flesh, it's holding the map. What Paul is getting at here is he's talking about being led by the Spirit or by the flesh. You know, it's kind of confusing. I get it. So I've got an analogy to help us out this morning. You may have noticed my lovely ride that I brought along today. A little Barbie Fiat convertible with pink interior, of course. You know, you can't be Barbie without the interior. And the way it works like this, I think this will help us to understand this a little bit more this morning. When you're born into life, you come into this world kicking and screaming. This is you. This is you. You're doing great. You get this lovely Fiat convertible, and you're on the road in your Fiat convertible, and you're driving and you're going everywhere you want. And in the seat right next to you, you got your friend with you, the flesh, really, sitting right next to you there. That's your desires. It's your natural nature. It's good. It's in there. And so as you go through life, you're in the car and the flesh, it's sitting shotgun. You're going through life and you're driving your car. You're in control of what you want to do. You're at the wheel. You can take the car wherever you want to go. How fast you go, what direction you get going, you drive the car. That's it. But your flesh, that is your natural desires and passions, it's sitting shotgun there with you. Sitting shotgun there with you. And she's got the map. So they're the one giving directions. The flesh is giving you directions. And he wants to stop for McDonald's every 10 minutes. And then he wants to stop for Wendy's 10 minutes later. And then 10 minutes later, he also wants to stop for Tim Hortons. And so he's got these fleshy desires that are going to guide your life and what direction you're heading in. He says, here, go there. This is where I want you to go. But something happens when you give your life to Jesus. Something happens when you give your life to Jesus as you're driving along the road of life. And you suddenly find yourself in the ditch because of this terrible navigator that you've had leading and guiding your life has just ended you in this place, and your shiny new Fiat, it's all beat up and dinged up and you're out of gas. It's a flat tire. You're in a ditch on the side of the road and you're more lost than you realize. It's a dead end road. But when you call out to Jesus and you invite him into your mess, it's like Jesus pulls up in a great big tow truck. And he gets there and you invite him, he pulls you out of the ditch and he changes the tires on your car and he gasses you up and he begins to give you some direction, some coaching. And then Jesus gives you his best friend, Ken. Jesus gives you the Holy Spirit. And he gives you the Holy Spirit to shotgun with you in the car. And he puts you there and he says, listen, I'm not just going to tell you the direction to go. I'm going to give you the Spirit in you, the car with you as a guide to go with you the whole way and the whole process. He gives you his best friend to get back on the road. So now you're out of the ditch. And Jesus has turned your life around and you're going in the right direction. So now you've got two passengers in the car with you. You've made a good choice and you've given the map to the Holy Spirit. You've done the right decision, right? You've said, Holy Spirit, he's sitting shotgun next to you. And he's leading and guiding you. He's got the directions and he's giving you the directions for your life. But you've still got the flesh sitting in the back seat. He's sitting in the back seat there with you. And let me tell you, he's a very vocal backseat driver. Very vocal. He still wants, the flesh still wants to lead and guide your life even after you've given your life to Jesus. He still wants to guide your directions based off of what he thinks is best. So now every day you have a choice, and this is the choice I want you to understand this morning. Who holds the map in your life? Who holds the map? Who are you letting give you directions and guidance for your life? Who are you letting guide your decisions day in and day out? And that's the question that we're talking about this morning. You see, the Spirit's desire is to lead you into those things that we talked about, the fruit of the Spirit in your life. His desire is to take you on a road trip to Disneyland. That's what this is about. He's taking you on the road trip of your life. And every stop along the way is beautiful. The road trip is scenic. It's gorgeous. You've got great friends with you. You've got great tunes with you. He knows all the best pit stops. He knows all the best restaurants, all the best hotels. Paul says the Spirit creates passions and desires in our life for good things. He wants to give good things in our lives. But Paul says also the flesh also has desires. The flesh also has desires in your life. And this is really important for us to understand. Something really tough that you and I need to understand in this passage. When Paul is talking about passions and desires, he's not saying evil desires. He's not saying bad desires. He's saying over desires. And what that looks like is this. Your flesh is in the back seat and says, hey, let's stop for ice cream. And you look over at the Holy Spirit, and he's like, yeah, that's a good idea. Let's get some ice cream. All right, because God wants good things for you in your life, doesn't he? Yeah? Does God want to give you some ice cream? Yeah. Amen. Thank you. Come on. So he's like, yeah, stop for ice cream. That's great. No problem. And so you pull up to the Dairy Queen drive-thru, and you get there, and the flesh says, all right, order an extra-large triple chocolate blizzard with extra fudge, a large fries, two flamethrower burgers, the size of chicken fingers, and a strawberry shake. Is there a problem with that desire? Yeah, you bet. Is the desire for ice cream wrong? No, it's not. God wants to give you good things in life. It's that over desire. And it's that desire to take good things and to make them the center of our lives. That's the problem. And what Paul's saying this here is our flesh looks at good things. He looks at things like your career, looks at things like money, like family, like sex, like human opinion and human approval. And what it does is it takes that thing that is a good thing God has created and it sucks it into the center of your life and it says, here, give it the map. Let this direct and lead and guide your life. Let this be the decision maker that tells you where to go. And as you're driving through the car of life, you've got a choice. You can get desires, a good desire to get married. To have a career, to provide for your family. And you start pulling these extra people into the car with you. And you got this extra people. But the flesh says, take these good things that God has given you. And it tempts you to give them the map. To let them be the one determining your direction in life. And so you start taking directions from the approval of people. Or financial security. And you let those things be the ones holding the map. Or your sex drive is holding the map. So let's do an example this morning. Let's do human approval. Human approval. So you pick up human approval. Is human approval a good thing? Yeah, it is. Bible says that a good reputation is more valuable than silver or gold. A good name is to be sought. It's a good thing when you've got people that think you're doing a good job. Do you like to be loved by people? Yeah? I'd recommend it. It's a good thing. It's a very good thing. Ooh. Almost lost our car. And so you get human approval in the car. But when human approval holds the map in your life, which the flesh will always tempt you to do, what happens when people don't like you? What happens when people criticize you? Then the flesh brings a good thing into the car, like approval, and says, hey, give him the map. Because unless these people like you, unless this group accepts you, unless people love you, you're nothing. So you better let him give you directions. You better let him guide you. And when seeking human approval becomes the one holding the map in your life, you will do whatever it takes, whatever you need to, even if you're driving off the road into the ditch, so that you get the approval of people. Because it's leading and guiding your life. Not just that either, but this thing, success, work. You're working at your job and your life, you know? You want to succeed in your job and your career. Is that a good thing? You bet it's a good thing. You want to succeed in what God has given you to do. You want to do that. And this is a great thing. This is rampant in our society. We want to work. But if this is left unchecked, it will lead to workaholism in your life. As you become a workaholic that works 60, 70 hours a week to fill that gap in your heart. If left unchecked over time, this will produce shady business ethics. As you do whatever it takes to succeed in life, because success feels so much better. Feels so good to win. Feels so good to get the approval of people. It's tied up with that as well. And not only will you do things you would never have been willing to do before, but now you're going in a direction you don't want to go. And you never thought you'd be in. You see, this begins to get out of behavior. And you see, one thing the flesh is really good at, is helping you justify anything. You can justify anything if the flesh is holding the map in your life. We'll help you justify any practice, any behavior you might participate in. Everyone's doing it. It's a dog-eat-dog world. You got to just do it to fit in. What if people don't like you? What if they don't accept you? What if this is the limit on your life? One more. Let's do one more this morning. We got our kid. What about kids? Are kids a good thing? You bet they are. I love kids. Kids are awesome. Kids are a gift from God. The Bible says children are a gift from God. And so you want to have kids in the car with you. But if you're not careful, your flesh will tempt you to give your kids the map in your life and let their well-being and their success become the guiding voice in your life. And when you do this, someone's going to get crushed. Either them or you. And what happens here is parents, we do this. What you do is you take success of their kids, everything, and you make that the map guiding your life. And then you crush your kids under the weight of unbelievable expectations. Why? Because their success as a parent, your success as a parent, and their success as a kid is more important than anything. And often your success as a parent is defined by their success as a kid. If my kid is successful, that means I'm a good parent. And the flesh is in the back seat lying to you every time your kid messes up and they aren't as successful as the kids down the street or the kids you see on Facebook, the kids you see on Instagram, or the neighbors down the way. And so the flesh says, give them the map. You need to pay more attention to them. You need to put them first. And you'll feel condemned for not being a good enough parent. You'll feel like you never measure up. You can never get where you're going. Or your children will crush you because you're so attached to them that every bad decision and failure they make crushes you. And you're always just one bad decision away from being dejected and losing your walk with God. Because they've become the center of your life and they're holding the map. The flesh distorts really good things and turns them into out of control over desires that can guide you right off the road into the ditch in the search for something in your life that satisfies. All the while, the Holy Spirit's sitting shotgun. He's still in the car with you. He's sitting there, and he's the only one giving you the true directions. He's the one who says, give me the map. Give me the map. Only Jesus satisfies. Everything else will lead you astray if that is the guiding force in your life. If you let the Holy Spirit give you directions, He will guide you on the best path for your life so that you don't hit the potholes, so you don't hit the ditches and the dead ends, and you get to stop for ice cream, and you get to have a spouse, and you get to succeed in your business, and you get to have kids and build your family. You see, when we let these desires hold the map, they take over control of us and then can drive us into the ditch. But when we realize that God loves us, God has our best interests in mind, and He wants us to enjoy good things in our lives. When we give the Holy Spirit the map and we let Him lead and guide our lives, we get to enjoy these good things that God made us to enjoy along the road of life. And they become wonderful destinations for us to enjoy along the road instead of controlling passions and desires, leading us down dead ends. The flesh makes you a captive. The Spirit sets you free to enjoy the gifts of God for your life. But I wonder about my own life sometimes. And you might wonder the same too. If I have the Holy Spirit in the car with me, why does it feel like I so often go off the road? Have you ever wondered that? I know I have. If I've got the Holy Spirit in the car with me, why have I gone off the road? If I have the Holy Spirit to lead and guide me, why do I keep going back to the flesh for directions, letting money hold the map, family hold the map, security hold the map, sex hold the map? And I think if I had to figure it out in my own life, it's because I haven't made space for the Holy Spirit's voice to actually speak. Does this car look a little crowded this morning? Does it look a little crowded here today? This is a picture of our lives, you guys. So many of us, we've just got things jammed in there. We've got no space for the Holy Spirit to speak. Some of our schedules here this morning, if you were to look back at your life 5 years ago, 10 years ago, and you were to say, hey, this is where you're going to be in 10 years, yourself 10 years ago would say, you're crazy. I don't ever want to work that much. I don't ever want to be moving that much. I don't want to be in that place. It's unhealthy, and you know it. And yet so many of us, this is our lives. This is the space that we're in, this busyness that we fill our hearts with. How often have you met with someone, hey, we should get together for coffee. Sorry, I can't. I'm busy. That's this. If you're too busy for coffee with a friend, how on earth are you going to hear God's voice in your life? I think often, too, we're in the habit of asking for quick fixes. We just turn to the flesh because it's easier than making space and stopping to do this. And I think we're so distracted from the Holy Spirit by the other voices in the car that we don't know how to make space for the Spirit and the right way to go. But let me tell you something I've been learning this last year. As many of you know, I started Church Renewal a while ago. I've been going through this mentoring. I just finished my last session of the semester last week. I just finished level one. And I've been going through this Church Renewal mentoring every single week, and it's all about stopping, making space in your life. Are you hearing God's voice? Are you getting along with Him? Are you making space in your life for the Holy Spirit to lead and guide you? That's what it's been about for me. And I've been going through this, and I've been realizing, man, I so often don't make space for Him in my life. And I'm wondering why I'm in the ditch. I'm wondering why I don't have His direction in my life. But I think some of us here sitting here today need to learn the same thing that I've been learning, is that we need to pull the car over. And we got to just reorient where everyone's sitting. We got to begin to just say, okay, we got to just get this sorted out here. I'm driving. I need the Holy Spirit shotgun. And I don't want these other things leading and guiding and controlling my life. They'll be in the car. Yeah, you know what? God wants me to have these good things in my life. He wants to take me on this journey. But they're not the guiding force in my life. I'm not going to do them. Some of you have got the Holy Spirit in the trunk and your sex drive in the front seat. And then you're wondering why you can't get free of pornography. And you're wondering why you can't hear God's voice in your life. And my question to you today is, who's holding the map in your life? Fill in the blank here today. Some of you are feeling so insecure, you feel like all of your relationships, people are judging you and hurting you. And I wonder, is approval holding the map in your life? Is Holy Spirit in the trunk? Or is He sitting shotgun right next to you in the front seat? This is an active, intentional choice we need to make in our lives today. This will not happen by accident. If you're thinking, man, I'll just find space for it later. No, you won't. That's just it. Because the flesh is in control. He won't make space for it if you don't make space for it. Have you made space for the Spirit to ride shotgun with you and to give you directions? So how do you do this? How do you do this in your life? Well, the first thing you got to do is you got to stop the car. First thing you got to do is you got to seriously evaluate. You got to stop. You got to pull yourself aside. You got to take 10, 15, 20 minutes and get along with God and just begin to think, what is the main driving forces in my life? You got to get along with Jesus and say, okay, what have I been doing? And once you stop the car, you begin to reevaluate where everyone's sitting in your life. You need to begin to make space for the Holy Spirit to begin to move in your life. And there's three ways you can make space for the Holy Spirit. Because if you want the direction of the Holy Spirit, if you want God to lead and guide your life, if you want Him to guide you into the fruit of the Spirit blooming and blossoming in your life, if you want that in your life, you've got to make opportunities for Him to hold the map and Him to lead you. And there's three ways you can make space for the Holy Spirit in your life starting today as we conclude this morning. Number one, reading through God's living word. Simple as that. Whenever you open this book, God speaks. Whenever you open this book, God speaks. And yet some of us are wondering why we don't have the Holy Spirit leading and guiding our lives and we haven't opened the book in weeks, years. That's just it. We talked about this last week. The illumination of the Holy Spirit as it begins to shine on your life and talk to you. And I think there's two reasons why many of us don't open the book. Number one, first reason is habits. We get directions from somebody else in the car. I've got a habit of going to a friend. I've got a habit of going to sex. I've got a habit of going to money. And I just keep going to these things instead. But the second reason I think many of us don't open the book is because we're scared of what we'll find and what God will ask us to do and what direction He'll ask us to take. You open the book, it means you got to change. I'm sorry about that. But it means you're going to have to change the direction you're going to experience life and joy in your spirit, in your life. We're afraid that if you hear God's voice, He'll ask us to do something. But if you want to hear the voice of God as the Spirit leads and guides your life into new joy, into new peace, into new love, into new purpose, into new hope for your marriage, for your family, for your job, for your future, you got to make space for this book in your life. That's just as simple as that. It requires you putting it right front and center on the dash. It requires you putting it not in the trunk, not in the back seat, but right there in the console with you. But number two, the second habit you can begin to hear God's voice in your life is through meeting with other Christians. This is why the author of Hebrews says, do not forsake the gathering of the believers. Don't miss the meeting spaces throughout the week. Because God has given a word to somebody here this morning for you. Maybe it's me this morning. Maybe it's Barry as he's leading worship. Maybe it's Terry as he's sharing an encouraging word. Maybe it's someone in the back in the cafe who's not even in a leadership position that God has just given a word to so that you can be encouraged and be built up in your life. You need other Christians in your life. And not just your spouse and your family, but people who are different from you in the church. Most of us come in on more on this to come in the weeks, but the Holy Spirit gives unique spiritual gifts to each of us so that we can encourage and build one another up. You need other Christians in your life, and not just ones that agree with you either, but ones that challenge you, that push you back. I've known too many people that say, well, you know, they challenged me on this, and so I stopped being friends with them. I unfriended them on Facebook. And said, well, why would you do that? They're encouraging you to be better, to follow Jesus more, to be more holy, to be more right, to live with right standards in your lives, to not compromise and hand them off over to mindless entertainment or inappropriate over desires. And if you're not making space for other Christians in your life to be in the car with you, to pray with you, to challenge you, to encourage you, you might miss the voice of God in your life as He speaks through other people to you. Are you making space in the car for the Holy Spirit to guide you through other Christians? And lastly, the Holy Spirit will guide us when we gather. And there's three spaces we gather at Cornerstone. Number one is pre-service prayer here on Sunday mornings. This morning we had a huddle back over there. It's probably about 20 people of us. And we just begin to pray for each other and invite the Holy Spirit of God in. And when we gather in those moments, we begin to sense and feel the presence of God as He begins to prepare our hearts for what He wants to do. Second place is Sunday morning worship and teaching. This space you're at right here. It's important to be here on Sunday mornings. It's important to be in this space where we gather. Some of us miss it week to week. We're in sporadic on the best of occasions. Now, this has got to be a priority if you want to hear God's voice in your life. Not just, if I have time or if it works. No, it's got to be there. And then the third one is growth groups throughout the week. Growth groups. It's in these spaces that we expect to hear the Spirit of God speak to us and give us direction for our lives. And as we make space for this in our schedule, as we make space for these in the car, we can find this guidance of the Spirit more clear as He leads and guides us? Are you making space to attend these weekly gatherings in your life? Or are you too busy? But hear me out this morning. It's not perfect attendance that matters. And this is crucial. As if attendance would change anything. At least it's proximity to truth, but it's not intimacy. Nothing changes in my relationship with Alandra or my family by simply being around them. Amen? It's intimacy. It's leaning in. That's what it takes. So when you and gather, I gather in these spaces, and we talk about how the Holy Spirit speaks to us and guides us through moments when we gather, it's not just showing up. It's leaning in, and it's participating. It's saying, Holy Spirit, whatever's going on this morning, I need you to speak to me. Whether it's through the teaching, through the worship, through the people before and after the service, Holy Spirit, speak to me. Lead and guide my life. And I want to give you the map. When you come in with an expectation like that to whatever it is that you are entering into, I promise you God will begin to answer that prayer in your life. I promise you the Holy Spirit wants to lead and guide your life if you will make space for Him. I promise you that as you make space for the Holy Spirit of God to speak to you through the Word, through other Christians, and through gatherings, you will sense His guidance in your life as He leads you into fruitfulness in Him. As Barry returns this morning to lead us in worship, will you stand with me this morning? Some of you today have been letting the wrong person hold the map in your life. Some of you have been asking for direction and for guidance from the wrong sources and the wrong people. And I believe many of us today, we need to do a shuffle of who's sitting where in the car. I believe more than anything today, the Holy Spirit is asking to have a front seat in our lives. He's asking for us to pay more attention to Him and His voice in our lives. I believe the Holy Spirit is asking us to make space for Him to speak and to guide each and every day. And we're coming to a place in the space right now in communion where we make space for the Spirit of God to speak to us. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul writes to the church about communion. And he says, before you come, examine yourself. Examine yourself and think through, have I been living in such a way that has not made space for the Spirit of God in my life? I'm coming to this table and I'm saying, God, I'm thankful for your forgiveness. I'm thankful for your love in my life. But I'm just going to lead however I want. I'm just going to let the flesh take me wherever I want. I'm going to put Holy Spirit in the trunk and just ask Him for directions when I need Him. No, Paul says, examine yourself. He says, pull the car over, stop, think through. How have you been doing in this? Is there a reorientation that you need to take? Because he says, if you don't do that and you take this cup, he says, you're drinking judgment on yourself. He says, you are condemning yourself by your own actions. If you're saying, God, I want your guidance, well, at the same time, you've got Holy Spirit in the trunk. And this morning, just before we come to take this cup, I want to take a moment and make that space available to say, God, what have I been letting guide my life? Who is holding the map? And then will come. So ushers, would you come stand this morning to give out the emblems? I'm going to invite you to come in just a moment, but as you are coming, as Barry is leading us, as you are reflecting on this, I need you to do this. Examine yourself. Lord, who's holding the map in my life? And begin to confess it. If it's something that's out of line, just begin to repent and say, God, I want you in control. I want you to lead and guide. Not my will, but yours be done. So Holy Spirit, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your love. I thank you, God, that you are in the car with us and that you lead and guide our lives when we make space for you. God, forgive us for not giving you space you deserve. Forgive us for letting other things hold the map in our lives and lead and guide our directions. God, as we come to this place, to this table, where we take emblems that show your sacrifice, the lengths that you went to, God, to reach out to us, to put yourself in the car with us, to lead and guide our lives. God, I ask that you would help us to repent and see your goodness in our lives. Help us, Father God, to get this right, to put you where you belong, to give you the seat of honor and direction and leadership in our lives. God, we don't want to miss this. Speak to us now as we come. In Jesus' name.